And welcome to Here We Stand. I'm your regular host, Kevin Anand, Eagle Strong Voice. This is the voice of the resistance and the Republic of Kanata. That was the Green Mountaineer, the traditional song from Vermont, actually the first area of America that declared independence from Britain. And the words, "We owe no allegiance, we bow to no throne. Our ruler is law, and the law is our own." That could be the slogan of all sovereign men and women everywhere in the world who struggle against this age-old tyranny. It's nothing new, this COVID police state. It's just on a higher level of technocratic sophistication. But the methods, the lies, the manipulations are always the same. But we have the numbers, we have the truth on our side, brothers and sisters. This show is not simply to educate, it's to organize, it's to arm you with the truth and the means to fight back and win. We've proven we can do that already. Go to murderbydecree.com, republicofkanata.ca, that's Kanata. It means where the people sit as one around the council fire. The republicofkanata.ca, you can see the history of our movement. We're here every Sunday. If you want to be involved, write to us, angelfire101 at protonmail.com. Today I have two important guests. They're from across the water. Eva from France and Badria from London, England. And they're both going to be talking about the movement there of resistance and liberation. But also, Eva has particular information to offer today about recent attempts to bring in even more, oppressive measures. So we're going to get to them in a minute. Before that, though, I wanted to remind people that we are in a state of war. And it's upon us now. There's an old saying that only those who are under fire know that there's a war on. And we talk to any of the people on the ground and who are facing this, and we see the war for what it is. One example of that is my friend Suzanne Holland, who I had on this show several months ago. She's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the Chilcotin National Congress, the Chilcotin people, indigenous people of central what's called British Columbia. Declared sovereignty. They were even recognized by the United Nations. Suzanne Holland, acting in that capacity as their chief justice, issued banishment orders to the churches, the genocidal churches, Catholic, Anglican, United churches, told them to get off her land, just like nine other Indigenous nations have done across Canada. And she also ordered the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Child Protection, so-called protection services, off their land because they were trafficking the Chilcotin children. Well, in response, the BC court system has come down on Suzanne like a ton of bricks. She's presently under house arrest with an ankle bracelet on in Williams Lake, BC. She can't go more than 10 meters from her house. She can't even make phone calls or Zoom messages to any of her close supporters, the elders of the Chilcotin National Congress. This is absolute tyranny. And it happens in Canada because there's a long tradition here of rule by decree. There's no such thing as accountable, responsible governance in Canada. And this is why once again, we have to show that the struggle leads inevitably to the Republic of Kanata, sovereign men and women declaring their independence from this murderous corporate system that killed over 60,000 Native children and is killing more every day. And they'll come for your children tomorrow and are coming for your children as we speak, unless we gather together. So I'm going to give more information a bit later on Suzanne and what you can do to help her. But a few other points, and the importance of Suzanne's case is that it's an assault generally on anyone who declares sovereignty. We had that example on Vancouver Island over the last year. We had five functioning republic common law assemblies, every one of them destroyed by the same black ops methods, divide and conquer, smear campaigns, the usual bit, scaring people off. We know for a fact that the Chinese government is operating here big time. And the last thing they want is for people in Kanata, whether indigenous or settlers, to take the power into their hands and declare sovereignty. The Chinese government has announced recently that they're switching their economy from coal-based to liquid natural gas-based. Most of that LNG is coming from right here on the west coast of Kanata. And as a matter of fact, the Band Council puppet chiefs in the Nisga'a Territory in northern BC have just announced they've signed a $55 billion deal with the Chinese, with PetroChina, to pump out liquid natural gas. Well, when you trace where those gas line pipelines are, it's right along the Highway of Tears in northern BC, Highway 16, where so many Native people go consistently missing. And the Trudeau government is allowing them to do that. There is even a rumor now coming from Ottawa that they're about to pass a law which will allow China to ignore all Canadian laws if it gets in the way of their so-called security interests, like their investments. So we have a nation within a nation now. We have China operating in a de facto manner, and this is outright treason. So it's all connected to these attacks that we're facing. So we're going to get into more of that a bit later, but for the next half hour, I want to bring on Eva and Badri, and we're going to talk about the situation over in Europe. Hello.
Yes.
You both hear me?
Yes, we do. I do. Hello, Badria. Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
Now, Badria, I'm going to, like, this is a dialogue, so I want you to jump in at any point, but I want to give Eva the chance to describe a little bit about what is the sanitary pass that's being proposed in the Assemblée Générale in Paris, and can you give us some background about how people are resisting this?
Yes. The vote on August 5th was to pass the sanitary pass that is part of this whole psychosis. It's part of the plan that was issued at least a year ago. It was already in place. The fact that the Constitution voted it because they removed two proposals that were offensive, they noticed, for everybody, obviously, was that they were going to quarantine people once they were considered positive on the COVID PCR tests. One has to know that these PCR tests have been proven by doctors and scientists to not be reliable. Okay, one test, it's amplifies cycles. There are many explanations that I'm not going to get into that you can find on many websites. But the fact was that they removed the fact that we would be quarantined because people were outraged, of course. And second point was that they removed also the fact that people could be fired right away for not having the pass, because you have to understand that they've put this pass in the middle of vacation when they know that all the French people who have been quarantined, confined for over a year, are so desperate to be on vacation that they put this pass so that it blocks people who have had to cancel their reservations, who have had to take vaccinations as they think they should have. I think they should not comply with this. This, as you said, Kevin, we are in a war state where you have to put things aside to not be tricked, because putting this law on August 5th, when everybody is traveling in France, is hierarchy that is the lowest type of, it's tyranny, as you say. What up? So we're living tyranny for sure.
Now, when they say quarantine, were these special camps that were being set up, or how would
yes,
that
and they were speaking of already people had to go to hotels for 2 weeks. I mean, the logic of everything is so upside down. As we know, all this is the big propaganda to get people to get vaccinated. It's a psychosis for many people. Many people are demonstrating against this. There are demonstrations in all the capitals. People who have been vaccinated first shot are realizing some that they regret. Others have gone through it because they don't want to resist. I mean, everything is out there, you know, everything is out there. So my message today is we can be in a world and in a country in France where we don't all have to comply to something which we don't agree with which are laws which are completely upside down, have no logic, have betrayed our trust. So there are many people who are waking up. That's the positive.
That's right. Badri, anything you want to say to start off?
Not really, other than that I feel that, as Eva has said, that many people are feeling like because they want to travel, they're getting vaccinated. So there are many reasons that people are getting vaccinated other than for their health. It's because they feel pressurized into doing it for one reason or another. And they obviously don't feel that they have a choice. But I'm hoping that we can maybe touch on what people can do or think about doing as an alternative to getting vaccinated.
Right. Yes. Now, that's in terms of the CNTF, do you want to describe, Eva, how the resistance has formed so far in France, the CNTF and what it is and all that?
Well, since France is a big country, which, as I said in your last show, I feel that the French people need to know their laws, constitutions much more, because they would be much more better protected if they do. Laws exist in our constitution in France, which protect us from tyrannous decisions and leaders. Many people in many movements, the CNTF, which is the official Conseil National de Transition France, which is a transitional government, which in the constitution requires that the armed forces protect us for 3 years in a transition government where we as citizens decide what we will do with our future, because we have been betrayed in many of our votes and decisions. Just to say, in the last elections, which were for the municipals, there was 78% abstention. Of course, people aren't voting. They're so tyrannized right now. People have given up. And as Badria was saying, there are many people who are being victimized into having no choice. So the CNTF is a strong institution, but it's still not well known, because other groups are growing. Right now, there are citizen groups which are backed by lawyers who have done class actions against the government and against the medical organizations in France and worldwide, linked to Big Pharma. So there are many actions, there are many demonstrations. What needs to be done is more coordination. And that's what the CNTF is calling for. They're being silenced, of course. Their first president was imprisoned. He got out recently under false pretenses. The second president who took his place, Delphine Cosme, was also in prison. She is right now in prison. So it's not an easy situation. They're standing strong. People are supporting them. More and more citizens are being made aware of this Conseil National de Transition France, finding out about their rights, organizing themselves. The people are asking that parents do not let their children be vaccinated by force, therefore gather together and make petitions, go to the schools, reclaim the power over their lives, basically.
Right. You know, it reminds me, Eva, that, you know, reading the history of France under the Nazis and the way the resistance began in very small ways, and eventually they had to find a kind of a national leadership that united a general council of all the resistance groups, right? It's like history repeating itself again.
Exactly. And of course, the politicians who are feeding themselves, like the stock market, feeding the fear that they're selling all these people into getting medicated, like Badria said, not for health reasons, but because of just all the restrictions that are being imposed. People are, you know, the morale, I believe, has to be higher. It has to be spiritual. It has to be in solidarity. It has to be in resistance. It has to be in link with, like you said, resistance in our history. It's just, we can't all fall, because we have to stand strong for those who need to see the light and the solutions. So yes, let's speak about them, obviously.
And those, I know, Badria, before we've talked about this, you made the good point a few shows back that it really starts within, that resolve within ourselves to find our own self and hold on to it at all costs, that inner light. And once you start acting that, as you've experienced on the train in England, people stand back. They can't really touch you when you're in that personal power.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just sort of when you're traveling, but just really knowing that what you're doing is the right moral and ethical thing, that you're actually standing in your truth, you're speaking your truth. But I think people have been so terrified for, you know, a year and a half now, that their ability to reason or access that has been so clouded that that's where the confusion and the fog sets in. And they're now fearing losing their livelihoods, which then obviously makes them feel that they're now going to compromise their ability to provide for their families, and so on. So I came across something actually that I just thought this might be a sort of something for people who are in that space to possibly consider, you know, to conditionally accept an offer to get vaccinated. So if their employer is, for example, saying, right, you've got to be vaccinated by X date, well, say, yeah, okay, I conditionally accept that, upon proof that your claim, that you can prove to me that the vaccine is safe, because that's how it's being certainly sold in the UK as 100% safe and effective, when we know it absolutely isn't. Yeah. So prove to me that it's safe. Prove to me that it will cause no negative side effects, and that you agree to be liable for any and all the damages.
Right.
So, and then, you know, basically, I suppose what you can think of is an unrebutted presumption is truth in commerce. So that means that basically, if you make a presumption and I don't rebut your presumption, then we've agreed on the presumption. So in this particular case, your failure to adequately respond constitutes your agreement that the vaccine is not safe, that right. I will not be terminated from the employment for your failure to prove the vaccine safety.
Right. Yes. Well, you know, it's a lot like when we, in our first tribunal in 2013, we found Queen Elizabeth, Pope Benedict, all these other people guilty. We had publicly accused them of complicity in committing and concealing genocide. They never answered publicly, which under law is called a pro confesso admission of guilt. They're not disputing what we're saying about them. And it's the mm-hmm. same thing here. We say publicly these vaccinations are dangerous, they're unwarranted, they're dictatorial, they weren't brought in through any lawful means, through a court or a legislature. Therefore, you know, prove, you know, like you just said, we're assuming it's not the thing to do unless you can show us otherwise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I agree. There are many people who are, there was a beautiful show by Emma Cruzy, who's a truth alerter in France and Switzerland. And what she was saying is she called and she filmed this, the L'Ordre Médical, basically the medical center of the government of France and Switzerland, to ask, what happens if I have an adverse effect to the vaccine? Can I have somebody who will explain how I can live and work with this pass? This was all filmed. Nobody was able to give her a straight answer. Nobody knew what was in the vaccines. Nobody was liable. None of the doctors could explain it to her. And she said, but how am I going to work if in August 5th, I can no longer travel by plane, by train long distance, and that all this is going to be, even in the hospitals, they're saying that they will not accept people with passes. I mean, so insane that the preposterous side of it is so obvious now. It's, I would say to people, just listen to people who you trust, first yourself, your body, your health, and then people who you love, who you know have maybe information that you always thought was a little strange or a little hard to believe. Like your story, Kevin, and those of the people in your country, the indigenous and those who lived through all this, it's very hard to believe that humans can do what they did to them, but it is true. And the faster we do realize that, the more we will help each other and overcome the sickness which has grown everywhere.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people who listen to this program have been through the fire. They, you know, often when they write in, they say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Native people will say, you know, the cops beat us up all the time. What do I have to worry about stuff? Let's go for it, right? So I want to talk a little bit about leadership, because that's really key to this. When you say there needs to be coordination of all the people's yes. different impulses of how you resist, it's the people who've been through the fire who aren't afraid of losing anything, who keep going, they're always the leaders, and they're the ones who are targeted. We're always taken out first, or at least they try to. And I've, you know, again, I explain to people what I've been through over the last year, seeing 20 different assemblies I had set up destroyed utterly. And they say, well, what keeps you going? I say, because it's happened so often, it's not a big deal. I know they're going to act this way. The question is, what am I going to do next? Not what's going to happen to me, because it's real ultimately,
exactly,
you know, in our hands, what we're going to do next. So, well, let's talk a little bit about, to people who are listening, who are willing to act. They often hold back because they say, you know, I'm not a leader. Well, the point is, we've got to show them, yes, you are. You're the tip of the spear in this.
Yes. And I believe that we don't all have to be the leaders that, for example, the courage I believe that people have when they hear, Kevin, the courage that you had to face the church. This, yes, it's true. We don't all have to have the same battles. But once we know that one has fought the battle that you have, we support you. And it's just supporting people who say something to defend the weaker, who see the other side of the light, who have another reasoning, and who believe in diversity, who believe in accepting that we do not all have the same medicine, that we all have our choice in how I will never ever, because once I was convinced when I wanted to go to Ghana in 2008, and I went, and they said, if you don't show vaccination, you will be refused. And I got tricked into it. And I developed a vitiligo, which is a form of benign cancer. But if I had not known how to take care of my health, I probably would have gotten what many people do get, is a system which is degraded by an injection. I believe that I choose my medicine. Everybody is sovereign in their body, first of all. And that is the fundamental human right.
And it's a fundamental thing we need to remind people of, because, you know, when you look at children, I mentioned this to someone the other day, when I was watching my daughters grow up, they would always be saying, but daddy, why? Why is that happening? Why are we doing this? They're always asking why. And yet very few adults ever ask the question. So people carry within them innately that sense of personal sovereignty, right? And that's something we've got to revive in people.
Exactly.
And also to let people know that, you know, we can all feel fear. We're all human beings. And I think the first time you ask a question or stand up, that's when you start building courage. You realize that actually by asking the question, nothing crazy happens. Somebody just kind of looks at you because they don't have the answer. You know, I was speaking to somebody recently, you know, because, you know, there's this whole thing about the vaccines are 100% safe and effective. And I pointed out the statistics, certainly on the UK website, up until the 21st of July, you know, there have been thousands of reports. Now, this is only between 1 and 10% of people that even report the adverse reactions. And there have been deaths. So already by that very fact, they are not safe and they are not 100% effective. So those two things are a lie already by the statistics that are available. So we're being fed a crock of shit, basically. So I woke up this morning and I thought, I mean, it might seem an absolutely ludicrous thought, but I just thought, what if I said to somebody, I identify as vaccinated? What would they say to me? Because I can go into a man's toilet and say, I identify as a man and nobody can question me. A man can go into a female toilet and say, I identify as a woman and nobody can say anything. So what would they say if I say I identify as vaccinated? Right. I think I might try that.
That's brilliant. That's a good idea, Vedra. Good idea. Yeah. That's so funny.
Questioning, yes. Questioning the authority.
It's ridiculous.
Right.
Yes. There are many ridiculous requests that are being made on people right now. And it really brings back to what Kevin was saying, is that they have tested this. You told me this the other day, that Pfizer and Bayer and all these companies, laboratories, were testing already on indigenous peoples, natives, for years. So this is worrisome. It's something that we should at least be interested in to understand what's happening to us, because if we let this happen, we know We cannot let this happen to others without it happening to the entire humanity one day.
Well, that's right. It was generations of Native children were experimented on in the Indian hospitals, and murderbydecree.com, it's all in there. But it wasn't just Native children, of course. Runaways, you know, transient kids, kids in foster homes. Every group was subject to, you know, for this kind of experimentation. So an injury to one is an injury to all. Takes on a literal meaning now, because if you let it happen to one, it'll happen to you tomorrow, especially in this kind of regime we're in now, where it's not democracy. It's a post-democratic system. It's a corporatocracy, right? And so yes, we have to think in a new way to fight it.
Yes.
Yeah. And also the way they're marketing it as well. I mean, you know, for example, they're sort of certainly in the literature that I've seen in the UK, it's like it says it's you know, it's vegan, it's halal, it's kosher, but you know, just the AstraZeneca, it's got chimpanzee adenovirus. This is on the AstraZeneca ingredients list, right? These are some of the ingredients. Human genetically modified human embryonic kidney tissue, which is HEK293. And you just think, well, that certainly isn't vegetarian or vegan, concerned, right? Or kosher.
Oh my God.
And if they then try and say to us, well, genetically modified means that it's not really that thing anymore, then I would argue, well, are you trying to say that genetically modified food is not food either? So we start going down these really sort of interesting routes of questions. How are they going to prove any of this stuff?
Well, they don't have to. That's the point. It's kind of like trying to hold churches and governments that murdered lots of little children. We say, well, let's hold them accountable. Well, how do you when they're in charge? They write the history. They write the narrative. They destroy the evidence, you know. So we can't think in terms anymore of how you relate to this status quo or the powers that be. We've got to take back the power ourselves. And that's really a whole new way of thinking and acting, really, that's necessary. I should just mention, at bottom of the hour, you're listening to BBS Radio. Here We Stand. This is live, August 8th, 2021. And my guests are Eva and Badria from Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and to follow on what you were saying, Kevin and Badria, on what are the solutions that we can give people, the hope, I believe that it's all in us. We have courage, like you said, asking questions, asking, is it true that doctors are not liable if something happens to my child? Is it true that if I fall sick or I have an adverse reaction that I do not have to comply? Yes, it's true. You have rights. People should look at the rights that they have in their country. These, I believe, are really not there for granted. They're there to be used. So there are tools, like you have created the tribunal. There are people in France doing the same thing, because now they're asking, after all the accounts of deaths following vaccination, apparently medical hotlines are out of order since there have been too many complaints from doctors of incidents. So they have not even been able to report all of them. So obviously the system was not put in place so that there be care for people. People should question that. How can we take time to take care of our health and not be bullied into all this? Well, I believe, Kevin, you know many of the paths. All of us can learn from all of them. Badria does too. We've all had histories. We've all had to be courageous. Let's do it again, a little effort.
Well, we have to, because our backs are to the wall. It's a matter of life and death now. And, you know, when you know your life is on the line, things become very clear. And you lose all the other concerns. That's the advantage of being under fire, because you become very focused on your own survival and the survival of the people around you. So, you know, that it's kind of getting rid of that old sluggish thinking where people think, well, this will pass, or somebody will pass a law and it'll save us, you know, but that doesn't work. It's only when we create it, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's not just about us either. It's about the future generations. I mean, as I understand it, the Native Americans used to think about the next 7 generations after them, you know, when they
Yes.
were thinking of the land and the trees and the resources. So it's not just about us, but I think we've become so selfish within our kind of
Right.
societies that we've lost view of what, you know, what we're going to be leaving for the future generations. I mean, I certainly don't want to leave a wasteland for the people coming after me. I want to actually leave them something that's going to provide a life for them. And, you know, you mentioned health, Eva. I mean, this is really about sickness. It's not about public health. It's about public
No.
sickness. Because as far as the reports that I've heard so far, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, a lot of the hospitalizations now for these so-called variants are from people who've been double vaccinated, you know. So it's
Yes, I
how is that
confirm.
effective?
Yes, the narratives are the same in France, and they're trying to deviate the attention. And of course, we have to really highlight the complicity of the media. In fact, the how they dive into false figures, it's amazing, because Sentinel is a French official website from the government, which gives the number of deaths, COVID, flu, etc. And they give the real figures. At the same time, you have BFM, all these French TVs that are giving false figures, completely the false scenario. So turn off those radios and please, or TVs, or and let's look at official what the government is actually editing right now, so that we have something that they have to stand by. We have
Don't you?
so many facts that don't follow the law, so many.
And whatever you do, don't use Google, because it's owned by GlaxoSmithKline as of 2 years ago. So, when people say why, and that's a question that comes up all the time, like, why are they doing this? What, why is this happening now? You can trace a whole history of how this came about. And it's not something that happened overnight, but I mean, to me, in this world, you follow the money, and it's they need to create a demand, right? So you've got to create a lot of sick people so there's a demand for the drug. I mean, that's how the economy operates.
Of
Why should we
course.
be surprised?
No,
But also,
no.
why aren't they reporting these things? I mean, as of the 21st of July in the UK, the yellow card reporting system, which is the equivalent to what you're just saying in France, Eva, and I guess as in the States, and you must have an equivalent in Canada. AstraZeneca reports as of the 21st of July of this year, 224,252 reports, 800,934 reactions. That means more than one reaction per person. 1,018 fatalities. Moderna, it's over 10, well, it's nearly 11,000 reports, 8 fatalities, 32,500 reactions. Pfizer, over 95,000 reports. 266,000 reactions, 466 fatalities, and unspecified makes 958 reports, nearly 3,000 reactions, and 25 fatalities. Now, if that was a car, right, and you had that many fatalities, do you think they would still be selling that car?
No. And of course, we have to say again that the laboratories, neither the laboratories nor the doctors are taking responsibility. So who is? It's our responsibility to not accept what we think is unacceptable, to
Even
really.
better,
And
I
we are
believe.
defended in this, and there are people waking up, so we are not alone, really. If people are desperate, I can assure them that they are not alone. People, I speak to people all the time. I don't wear my mask. People smile at me now. At first, people were afraid, but people are starting to be, as you say, awake, clear. It seems clear that we need to speak. We need to find our sovereignty back and our sanity, our morality, our health, our happiness. Just to go to a restaurant. Of course, they're trying to make restaurants now enforce them with a $45,000 euro fine if they don't control people with the pass. So this is going to be in place tomorrow, and people are completely at loss. So why comply? Why comply? We cannot resist this.
But also, I think... go on, Kevin.
Turn it up. We do have about 2 or 3 minutes left for you guys. So if you wanted to sum up or anything or...
Well, I was just going to say, if people want to start thinking about maybe taking in, you know, if they are forced to vaccinate or feel like they're being forced to vaccinate, you know, draw up a letter, get the person who is going to inject you to say they take absolute 100% personal liability for injecting you with that substance. How many doctors and medical professionals are going to sign that to take personal responsibility? Because these drug companies have been indemnified. They've already posted billions and billions of pounds of and dollars of profit just in this, you know, last quarter. Now, they're profiting from people's misery and fear. So make sure that people say, right, I'm going to take 100. They're not going to sign it.
Yes. Yeah, so that means we are responsible. We are responsible for our children. I know parents who are separated sometimes don't agree on these issues for their children. I know many people in conflict. What I would like to say is let's really, really, really meditate on our sovereignty and the fact that we have a choice. Nothing is urgent to sign or get the shot, the jab, whatever we want to call it. Nothing is that urgent. Please take time to know the laws that protect us.
I want to thank you both for being on today. It's always great to have you. And we'll carry this on again in the future very soon.
We will. Thank you. Great to
see you. Love you both. Love and light to everybody. Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Our friends from Europe, Badria in England, Eva in France. And I want to use the last 15 minutes to follow up on some of the things we touched upon before, but just, a final note on what we were discussing there. I've walked around for the last 15, 18 months, however long this stupidity has been going on. And I'm totally fine. I've never had any symptoms, even though I'm in the prime age where it should be affecting me. I've never met anyone who's sick either. So in my realistic experience, this thing doesn't exist. I think a lot of people getting sick, but a communicable virus I would have gotten by now, and I haven't. So maybe I've got some kind of natural immunity or protection, who knows? But the more simple explanation is that it's not there. It's only a cyber reality. It exists on the internet. It exists in that realm, but it doesn't actually exist in the world. And when people say, well, that's bullshit, I've seen people who are sick with it. Lots of people are sick with a lot of things, especially in this high, stressed out, electronically bombarded culture we live in. We live in a fundamentally unhealthy and sick society. So yes, things are going to get worse with toxic poisoning, the whole bit. To put it all down to a virus is absurd, and it doesn't actually exist, in my opinion. So if you want to dispute that or anything, please write to me, angelfire101@protonmail.com. And I want to give some background because it's really important to know what we're dealing with. And like I mentioned in the discussion with Badri and Eva, this is not new. This is coming out of a whole evolution. And it's something called the corporatocracy. And, you know, it's a term that actually came out of the 1920s and 30s when the whole fascist movement began in Europe, which is really a form of corporatism. I'm going to talk about that briefly, but a lot of what I'm going to be mentioning over the next few minutes is taken from my book, Memoirs of a Revolutionary, which just came out. You can see it on Amazon. And just put in Kevin Annett, you'll see it. And what I do is I look at the last 50 years, because exactly 50 years ago, I began get involved in politics, being very active over the last half century. And it's not only a summing up of some practical lessons on the ground, but I look at how the world has changed since the 1970s. And I look at each decade And it's quite an amazing evolution when you step back and look at it, because we need that perspective. We're so caught up in the minutiae, the little dragon scales, rather than looking at the whole beast, that we forget what we're dealing with. We don't know what we're dealing with, right? And so we tend to fall prey to our own naivety and false assumptions about the system. But what's really clear is that this is not sprung up overnight. It's inevitable evolution. When the world economy became increasingly monopolized and dominated by this corporate system that was actually pioneered by Benito Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. And their system, basically big money merged with the state, creating a corporate state, which suppressed all democracy. It suppressed all popular movements and everything, and put all power in the hands of this, either a figure like a dictator or the corporate state itself. Now, when Mussolini came to power, Pope, I forget which Pope it was, Bishop of Rome, called himself Pius the 11th or something like that. He declared that fascism under Mussolini was simply the program of the Catholic Church made government. And by that, they meant we don't want people to think and act for themselves. We don't want liberty. We want everything to be controlled by this monolithic state. And that, when you look at the evolution over the last 50 years, that's exactly what's gone on. Now, it can even be traced further back. And I mentioned this guy, Jeremy Bentham. And it's a really amazing insight, because Jeremy Bentham was what's called, he's the father of what's called utilitarianism, an English philosopher. Utilitarianism basically said, everything has to have a practical purpose. If it doesn't, it has no meaning or relevance. And, you know, it's the perfect philosophy of the Industrial Revolution and the modern age. And, but Jeremy Bentham really won his fame in the early 1800s by designing a thing called the Panopticon. And this Panopticon is the model for modern society. What it is, it means all-seeing eye. Well, that sounds familiar, right? The all-seeing eye, it's a Masonic symbol. And in fact, Bentham was a Freemason, one of the Grand Masters in London. And this Masonic symbol of the all-seeing eye, which you'll also see in the US dollar bill, what he designed this original prison called a panopticon. And it was a circular prison with a central tower. And all of the prisoners who were in their cells believed that they were being constantly monitored by the people in that central tower. So they ended up policing themselves. Even if they weren't being monitored, they thought they were. Just like standing on a street corner in any city, look at all the cameras. Do they even operate? Well, it doesn't matter, because you think you're being watched. Just like now in the COVID police state, you think you'll get in trouble if you don't do X, Y, and Z. But the reality is it's all based on the panopticon system. And let me read what Bentham said about this. Our system is a building circular, whether a prison or society at large, where the prisoners or citizens are in their cells in the outer circumference, the inspecting officers in the center. By blinds and contrivances, the inspectors are concealed from the observation of the prisoners. Good point. Do we actually see the so-called rulers? No, they're hidden all the time. And hence, a sentiment is created of a sort of omnipresent and watchful authority that compels prisoners to be obedient and self-regulating. That's the point. They can make all the little rules they want. If we don't obey them, they have no effect, because there's no way a handful of them can rule millions of people. They don't have the person power for it. They rely on us policing ourselves. And that's why in our common law assemblies and our common law training workshop, the first thing we do is we have role playing about people's attitude towards authority. And we say the problem is not a cop who's going to come through your door. The problem is the cop in your own head who's telling you not to do this and basically be a good slave as you're being raised. So that model for Jerry Bentham's panopticon model was actually picked up by the ruling class and the elites in Europe, and especially in Victoria, England. And they used it as a model for not only prisons, but society at large, government, religion, social planners, city planners. They all use the panopticon model, and hence what we've got today. The all-seeing eye watching everybody. Well, don't forget, in The Wizard of Oz, they pulled back the mask, and there was a little jerk sitting behind the big mask scaring everybody. But when you look at him, he was nothing. He was just this minuscule little guy who was pretending to be something he wasn't. When you actually meet these people who are in charge of these institutions, they're exactly like that. they hide behind the fear that they create and the ignorance people have, the preconditioned training we've all had since childhood to defer to an authority figure. And, you know, that's what they all rely on. But if you stand up to them, as we've constantly done in our movement, they back down. They always back down. It's like when we occupied these churches to force out the truth of the mass graves over 15 years ago now, the cops would show up. We didn't back down. We said, these are criminal bodies. You cannot support these churches and defend them, or you're colluding in a crime. They always backed off. You see, when you push against the system, it backs off. But you don't know that, and you do. And most people don't get to that point because they're too afraid. They're controlled by their own fear and false assumptions. So that whole Bentham model is really important to keep in mind. It's the whole model. But in the book, I go into more detail about what is this thing called a corporatocracy. And let me just share a part of that. One of the things about the thing you learn early on is that there's a unique aspect going on now, and it has to do with our minds. And the way that I call it a single group mind for the one world corporation. Now, this overt cybernetic control of human consciousness, it's a new and critical factor. It didn't exist before the 1990s. And as a matter of fact, by the 1990s, this, after the world was going through continual economic crises and growing monopolization of the system, whereby, as you have now, most of the world's economies are not governments or nation states, but they're corporations. And politicians, as we see every day, dance to the tune of the corporations. They're employees of them. And but the new added element here is in the 1990s, they brought online and made operational new cybernetic mind control technologies. And these were developed over many years in the Indian hospitals, the hospitals, residential schools all over, which is another reason they're putting out their false stories on these places now, so we don't discover what's really going on in there, because that gives us a clue of the methods they're using against us now. But in these places, they develop means of cybernetic, creating a merger between machine and human consciousness. And when you look at the experiments being done in these Indian hospitals, it was always about experimenting on the midbrain section of the human mind, how to control the will and the abstract consciousness of human beings. Now, here's some statistics. In 1993, the internet was controlling only 1% of worldwide communications. In 12 years, it was the 97%. Okay, from 1993 to 2008, it went from 1% to 97% of world's communications. And the iPad followed from that, so that now over 90% of all adults within 10 minutes of waking up turn on the little machine. Well, you can look at the data on this, and it's clear that that kind of technology means everybody is being plugged into the same electronic matrix, and you're given the thoughts subconsciously in other ways that you see over the internet. That's why we say in the training sessions, turn off the internet. Do not rely on your perception of the world or communicating with each other on that technology, because like television in the 1950s, it was set up as an explicitly mind-controlling technology. So no good can come out of it over the long run. It may be convenient, but you're going along a channel that they've created right into their panopticon. And the thing about television is interesting. By a similar statistic, between 1952 and 54, it went from 1% of Americans having televisions to 90% of them having televisions in 2 years. Well, those 2 years were exactly when the MKUltra mind control system was set up by the CIA and their experimental programs. They went online and deployed a lot of the mind control technologies, starting with television, because the emissions from a television put the human brain in an alpha state, alpha brainwave state, which is like the condition you're in when you wake up or you're drowsy. You're semi-conscious, you're very susceptible to programming. So the television was created to put people into a hypnotized alpha wave state to do whatever the state wanted them to. And it's interesting in that regard. In World War II, only 1 out of 10 American soldiers aimed their rifle at an enemy, at a human being, and pulled the trigger. Most American soldiers, even in the midst of combat, could not bring themselves to killing a human being directly. They'd shoot higher, they'd shoot generally, but to put somebody in your line of sight and pull the trigger knowing you were killing them, only 1 out of 10 soldiers did that, amazingly enough, despite what you see in all the war movies. So obviously the military who were behind these MKUltra experiments said, we got to find a way to overcome that. And guess what? By the time of the Vietnam War, it was 7 out of 10 who were doing it. Those children raised not only on violent television, but on the mind control technology of TV. Now, fast forwarding to today, they've done that on a completely global scale, far more effectively because of the iPad and internet technology. You're all plugged in, whether you're aware of it or not, all of us are. And we're all affected by it, and our minds are not our own. Now, if your minds aren't your own, there's no way you can mount a resistance or be sovereign. And so that's why I say in the book, one of the points I make is that we have to rediscover a kind of realistic attitude, philosophical and political realism that says, I know on the basis of what I experience every day, what my experience and my intuition tell me, not what somebody else told me. So, you know, you find this in the whole debate on religion. Why do you believe in an invisible deity? Well, show me the proof. You know, faith can be another expression for simply naivety and gullibility. We have to know for ourselves. The creator didn't give us a mind so we wouldn't use it. And so we don't go on the basis of rumor, which is 90% of what you see on the internet. Somebody puts out an idea, but where's the proof? There's no way you can prove it one way or the other. So it's what I said earlier about the cybernetic technology. COVID exists as a cyber reality, not as a thing in real life. And I prove that day by day in the interaction I've had. I mean, I work in some of the most poor, disease-ridden areas of Canada, including the Vancouver East, downtown East Side. I'm 65. I've got bronchial asthma, never had a symptom once, even though they claim COVID is rampant in the downtown East Side. Well, I've never met anybody with it, and neither have they. So we got to distinguish between the cyber reality being pumped in your head and what we know. The way you do that to get back to yourself is you turn everything off, you go out and you lie on the ground, you sit in the woods, you be around animals, you be around children, and you will recover your mind. It's inherent in us. It's a matter of letting the fog go and stepping out of that fog. You cannot take action with a blindfold on and an inner blindfold. And that's something I thought I should say in following up to our really great conversation today with Ivan Badria. Now we have a few minutes left. We're going to end on a beautiful song, Farewell to the Crown. And those of you who are listening on the recorded show, and most of you listen to the recorded show, not live, unfortunately. And we, for copyright reasons, the songs are cut out, but they're always listed. If you go to the bbsradio.com/herewestand site, you scroll down, you'll see all the shows. And if you go on that link to the show of the previous week that's just posted, you'll see the links to the songs as well. But I want to remind you folks to write to us. I am on tour across Canada and all over Turtle Island, aka in North America. And we'll be holding common law training workshops, teach-ins about the genocide in Canada and the need for the Republic of Canada, which is growing leaps and bounds every day. To take out citizenship, to learn more, go to Republic of Canada, K-A-N-A-T-A, republicofcanada.ca, murderbydecree.com. We had the proof of mass graves and excavated remains of children as far back as 2011 and 1998 when we did our first tribunal. And the two-minute memory is now telling people, oh, let's have another investigation into residential schools in Canada. Well, hello, people. In 2015, they published the whitewash. They covered it up officially in 2015. You don't need another cover-up. We've proven that genocide occurred. And as a result, the Canadian government, the British Crown, all of these systems are disestablished under international and moral law. They have no claim. Not only they're banished from our territories, these churches and governments, but we reestablish in a new sovereign jurisdiction called the Republic of Canada. That is how you win. We have brought down popes and systems of government in Canada by doing that. We brought these churches to their knees by direct action. And it wasn't too many of us who did. It was a few dozen. So keep that in mind. It's not about numbers, like Sun Tzu says in The Art of War. It's about persistence and courage and determination. And those are the factors lacking these days. Find it in yourself and we will win. This is Kevin Annett, Eagle Strong Voice. We'll be back again live next week. And till then, learn, stay strong, stay clear.